Hey there, it's Jen. And before we get started today, I wanted to tell you about a new opportunity I have coming up at the end of the month I think you'll be really excited about. I have always been intrigued with the financial and investment world, but I had no idea how to get started, and I felt really intimidated by it. I looked at it as if we had two options. I could either give my money to a financial advisor and hope they knew what they were doing, or I was basically going to have to jump in and make a bunch of mistakes on my own. Both of those options did not seem like good options to me, so I stayed on the sidelines for far too long. Eventually, I finally jumped in. I had a lot of really great investment mentors that I learned from, and I did really well, and I learned that I was actually pretty good at it. So I've decided to create a group that I wished I had back then and help empower others to give them those nitty-gritty details on how to jump into the financial world and empower you with that information to get started. I believe everything in our world is changing, and we are in a massive window of opportunity. So I'm really excited for this group to share this valuable information that I've learned to help empower you for your financial future. So click the link in the show notes to sign up by June 30th for the early bird discount. See you there. Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts, to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. People talk a lot about having success in life. What really is success? Does it mean having a lot of money, fame, or building a big business? I think success is different for people, obviously. True success to me is living a fulfilled life. And fulfillment is focusing on what really matters. So the most important thing is to keep the most important things the most important things. That to me is success, my darlings. Today, I'm talking to a woman who I believe is a beautiful example of realizing what matters most in life. I can't wait to share her inspiring message with you today. She's an author, coach, speaker, and entrepreneur. Please welcome the beautiful Bevan Farron. Hello, dear.
Oh, what a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk to you today. Bevan, when I heard your story, it literally sent chills down my spine. I was going to, you know, maybe tell people a little bit about your story. And I was like, Jen, just keep your mouth shut and let it come from Bevan. You know, let's start there with you telling us in your own words, your experience.
Sure. So in 2019, my husband on Mother's Day surprised me with four bottles of Bordeaux wine and a card written in French, and he didn't speak French. So I knew something was up. And he let me know that he was going to be taking me to France for my 40th birthday, which was in November. And he told me with enough time that we could plan. At the time we left, I would have a 10-month-old and a 2.5-year-old who was still nursing my son. I had to make sure I pumped enough breast milk for the freezer. We had to arrange childcare. And it was fun because we got to plan it together. And then 2 weeks later, I got laid off from a job that I absolutely loved. I honestly thought I was going in for a promotion and I got laid off instead. And so we talked, we live in the country. And so we have no sidewalks. We just walk down our country roads. And we were like, should we just cancel this trip? Because it seems a little crazy. And I said to him, okay, look, because I used to be a project manager. And so I laid out a spreadsheet and was like, if I don't make another penny between now and October, this is when we run out of money. I think it was like October 12th or something. But I decided at that time, it was the third time I'd been laid off in my career. And I said, I no longer want to put my financial well-being in the hands of anyone else. I am ready to really jump into being an entrepreneur, start my own business, take what I've been learning for these clients where I was making them multi-millions of dollars and apply it to smaller businesses. And so I did that. And I said, if I can make $5,000 by the end of August, then we have a good proof of concept. And so I did that. And I started building my business. I hit $5,000 in August, started growing things. So we decided to go on the trip. But even 2 days before the trip, I was like, this is crazy. We are going to be in airplanes as long as we are going to be on the ground. I'm like, is this just too crazy? But we went. We had an amazing time, got to celebrate my birthday, fantastic food, delicious wine, wandered through the city, and really reconnected to who we were as a couple before we had kids, before we got married. And we came home. It was the week of Thanksgiving. So Mark had taken the whole week off work. We got the house ready for Thanksgiving. We took our daughter to her first movie theater show. We had Thanksgiving with our friends and family, which was always our favorite holiday. And then the day after Thanksgiving, Mark just didn't wake up. He passed away in the middle of the night, completely unexpectedly. He had undiagnosed heart disease. We had no idea. He weighed the same he did in high school, so there was no indicators. One of his arteries was 95% blocked and the other was 50% blocked. And all of a sudden, my life was just completely upside down. Mark was my best friend and my biggest cheerleader. And so I was now the sole parent of two kids under the age of three, the sole financial provider, an entrepreneur, and doing it all without my best friend. And so about a month after that, I posted something on Facebook just saying, thank God we took this trip, right? Saying, I know I didn't really talk about my birthday this year, but like all this happened. And thank God we took this trip and we went on this adventure together and we had this time. And whenever we're faced with a choice, take the damn trip. And that really resonated with people. And so I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew it was going to be something. So I bought the URL that night. I was like, okay, this is something. And about 9 or 10 months later, the restaurant where Mark and I met closed down because of COVID. And Mark and I were super cheesy. We would go to the same restaurant on our anniversary, sit in the same seats, wear the same clothes, take a selfie in front of the sign. And so I put on social media, hey, does anybody know the owner? I'd really like to get the sign. And it just blew up. And people wanted to donate. They wanted to be a part of it. And so I decided to pre-sell t-shirts. They're these shirts to raise money to get the sign. And we started a Take the Damn Trip community. And that was really the birth of this Take the Damn Trip movement, which I am so passionate about sharing because I truly believe like we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. And so we all need to connect with the people that we love the most. We need to do that crazy thing that's in our heart. And we just need to always be taking the damn trip.
So beautiful. So what does your shirt say?
It says, we're not promised tomorrow, hashtag take the damn trip. And on the back, there's a design with like a suitcase with all the different trips people take. Maybe adopting a baby or building a house or starting a business, whatever it is. Can I dive right into my newest trip?
Yes, absolutely. So, I just wanted to say really quick with your story, I can really relate to that so much because I feel like my husband is wired more to enjoy and to be like, money, shmoney, like, let's just, you know, let's just go, let's spend it, let's be in the moment. And to me, I'm like, well, we got to plan, we got to prepare, we got to do this, and we got to do that. And so listening to your story, because, you know, when you fast forward, I often tell people when they're faced with two decisions of should I be here or there, or should I do this or that, fast forward to the end of your life, on your deathbed, reflecting back on your life, what are you going to wish that you did? And so I need this message so much. And I think that's why your story resonates so much with me.
Well, that's the thing. I tell people, like, take the damn trip is not licensed to say, like, screw it, throw it all to the wind and, like, just be impulsive and not think about anybody else. I guess you could do that, but you don't have to. Like, starting my business, I used data, right? We looked at how long can I go without bringing in more money before I have to go like get a job. And it's not just about taking a vacation because I understand that people get confused sometimes. So I've turned trip into four questions that we ask ourselves because I guess I kind of skipped over a really important part of it, which is that damn is a framework. So when I looked at the hardest things that I've been through, so not only losing Mark, but I lost my home in a house fire in 2010. I lost my dad to cancer when I was 24. I've been very open about the fact that my kiddos are IVF babies. So I've been through several rounds of fertility treatments, plus all like the amazing things I've created, like having these kiddos and building this business. I thought about what is it that I do differently than other people, not necessarily better, but differently. And I came up with these four mindset shifts that spell the word damn. So it's not just like, I'm not just real sweary. So it is decide and declare, attend your own party, meaningful moments, and now is the time. And trip is just four questions we ask ourselves when we say, like, is this the big, bold, crazy idea I want to bring to life? Is it your top priority? Are you willing to make it your top priority? Which means you're going to have to say no to some other things. Are you willing to resource it? And that's time, energy, money, focus. It's not just money. It's like, where are we putting our attention? Is it inspiring? Is it something we're moving towards? And is it personal? Is it really your dream? Because too often we're going after dreams that somebody else has imposed upon us. Like, while it is like, N is absolutely now is the time and we get into action, it doesn't just mean let's be more impulsive. It means let's bring more meaning. Let's choose moments over minutes when it comes to our life. And that's sometimes people will say, well, I don't know whether to go to my kids thing or work. And I say, well, what's the thing you can't repeat? What's the thing that is never going to come back? And that might be your kid's first day of preschool and you go to work a little late.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is we're constantly faced with decisions in life and sometimes they're really hard. And sometimes the answer isn't going to your kids thing, which is really tricky. Sometimes it's like, hey, if I go to this interview, I might, you know, be able to get this opportunity that is really profound for my family. And so it's not about like, you know, saying, oh, it's always that. Or maybe sometimes you have to miss a soccer game, but oftentimes it is go to the preschool.
Well, yeah. And so some of it, so two things that are really interesting that you brought up. The D part of decide and declare, one of the critical steps is finding your yes. So once you know your yes, then the no's become really easy because every time we say yes to something, we're saying implied no's to other things. Like the fact that I'm here talking to you means I can't be talking to somebody else or taking a nap or, you know, with my kids, whatever that is. But when we know our yes, like my yes is sharing the damn framework and the message throughout the world in whatever way I can, through writing a book, through being on podcasts, through having courses, then when I'm faced with something, I can say, okay, does this project, does this idea support my larger yes or not? And so 100%, there are times that we choose like work over family. And that's kind of the A part, which is staying present in the moment, attending our own party. Because when we say, when I'm at work, I am fully at work. And when I'm with my family, I am fully with my family. Then we don't have this like, straddling the line of two things. I always envision like somebody on water skis or the water skis are going in different directions. Like, because I don't feel guilty about being fully at work because I know when I'm with my kids, I'm fully with my kids. It's when we try to be like 50-50 all the time that we feel uncomfortable.
Just completely like dispersed. I think that's really tricky for people to do in today's world, to be fully present with your children or fully present at work. I remember years ago, my husband, he worked for this guy that had buku bucks. He had, you know, his own private jet, all this money, and he was always flying off and meeting with clients and really, really smart businessman. And I remember one time we went out with him and his wife, and she was so upset with him. They started fighting in front of us. What they were fighting about was he wanted her to go on Halloween to fly and meet with some clients. Well, this is something he did often. He often went and met with clients. She would go with him often. And she was like, I'm not going on Halloween.
Right.
And he was like, how do you not understand this? These are important clients. And she was saying, well, how do you not understand this? Like, I'll never get that Halloween back. And as a mom, you realize that those years of Halloween and your kids dressing up, that's a big deal to children and it's fleeting fast. So just thinking about like these different moments in life of what's more important at that time and then being able to be present when you're there, that's so, so powerful. I love that.
And so once we know our yes, the how might be more flexible. right? So for example, Mark, we really committed to our family. Like I said, we went through IVF for these two kiddos, and Mark worked for a corporation. He works for Honda. And so he would actually choose, they got 5 weeks of vacation a year. He would use his vacation to travel with me when I had to go, because some of the work I used to do was branding. And I would go to photo shoots in New York. And so he would come with us and with me and my daughter, and the three of us would travel together, and he would explore the city with Guinevere during the day. But then at night we could have dinner together. We could put Guinevere to bed. We could just be together. We didn't have to make that choice where I had to be away from Guinevere, or I traveled with our nanny and he had to be away. So that was one of the examples of our yes, was our commitment to our family. We both still have very busy, high-powered jobs, but we knew that there were times where we had to be creative on how to make everything work.
Yes, I love that. I can't even imagine, honey, how that had to have been for you. How in the world did you get through that? You literally, like, the day after Thanksgiving, what happened?
Oh, you know, it's so interesting looking back at it, because I worked with a grief coach who was amazing for probably 6 months, not right away, but starting the next year. And I was telling her, I said, well, you know, I couldn't have just stopped. And she said, you should, plenty of people do. And nobody would have blamed you if you would have just curled up in bed and not gotten out. And I really got into, like I said, what my top priorities were. And my top priorities were my children, myself, and keeping our house. Because Mark and I built this house in 2015. We found this waterfront property, which is really rare in Central Ohio. And we built this as our forever home, knowing we wanted a big family and we wanted to be able to have our kids come back for Thanksgiving, you know, when they're married. In order to keep those three things afloat, my kids, myself, and the house, I had to also run my business. I think so much of it came down to that I have been in this world of coaching and thought, mind, and consciousness for so long that I allowed myself to feel grief, because I don't think there's any bad emotions. I think we just have emotions. And when grief came, I allowed it, but I didn't force myself to stay stuck in it either. Because we do that sometimes. When my dad passed away, I remember laughing one day and thinking, oh my gosh, how can I be laughing when my dad died? And I had to think about the fact that he wouldn't want me to stay stuck in sadness. And I don't think Mark would want that either. You know, so I talk about Mark all the time. I talk about him like he's still here. People will say that. People, like, you really talk about him like he's still here. I'm like, because to me, he is. He's everywhere. He's in this house. He's in the business that I build. He's in my children. My kids look exactly like him. So he's all of these things. And he's always going to be an important part of my life. And I don't think I would be honoring his memory by forcing myself to stay stuck. Now, that being said, two nights ago, I started playing piano again, and I played this song that I literally could not even get through without bawling my eyes out because I was just so sad. So it still comes. I still have these waves, but I think also I've had to teach my daughter, who's four, who was with Mark when he passed away. So she has a lot of emotions that come up, and we talk about it all the time. It's okay to be sad, and we don't try to hide that. We say, like, if you want to cry, it's okay. And she tells me all the time, I just miss daddy so much. I'm like, I do too. But it's also okay to be happy. So we have to be okay with all of our emotions.
So in the personal growth world, in the spiritual world, so many times you hear people, like, they just want the higher dimension, the higher vibration, the love, the joy, the peace, you know, and they have a really hard time being okay with being in that grief, that sadness, that anger, that despair, all of those different emotions. And I agree so much. You got to feel it to heal it. You know, it's not about running away and not ever feeling those painful emotions. We're here to experience all of it, the good, the bad, everything in between. The key is the majority rules. When we stay down in grief, because I've worked with lots of people that have, you know, gotten stuck in grief, and it's been hard for them, and they don't know how to push forward out of that. What you said is you think Mark wouldn't want you to be sad, and you know it. You know he would want you to be happy and to really go on and share this message. That the thing I love so much about you is you are taking that experience that, albeit super painful, and you are blessing the lives of others because of that experience. And that to me is, that's a warrior, honey.
That one of my friends calls me that all the time, a warrior mama. And I just love, I mean, we have this group text going on and we'll always call each other that. But the first time she said, I was like, yes, thank you. Like, I love that phrase. You know, there's two things. One, when we fight against emotions, they stick around longer. It's like a riptide. Somebody once explained it to me this way. When I'm sad, just outside of this, right? Like when I feel sad, I like to dive into it because I'm not often sad. So I like to get deliciously sad. I like to let myself cry. And sometimes it's inconvenient. Like the other day I started crying in the line at the drive-thru to get chicken nuggets, right? So I was like, this is an inconvenient time. But when you're in a riptide, and I've never been in one, this is how somebody's explained it to me. If you get pulled into this riptide and you fight against it, you'll drown because you will run out of air and you will keep yourself stuck in it. But that's the natural inclination, is to fight it. But if you just let yourself experience it, the riptide itself will pull you into calmer waters. Mm. And I was like, that is such a perfect analogy for emotions, because if I just own it and say, I'm sad, it's going to pass faster than if I'm like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. That's like trying to push a beach ball under the water and it's just eventually going to explode. But the other thing you said about sharing my story, because people will sometimes say, how do I know what to share and what not to share? And I have said, I was like, my barometer is, will this be useful to somebody? And I started that because when I would talk about IVF and talk about having a miscarriage and talk about just the fertility journey in general, every single time I brought it up, somebody would reach out to me and say, thank you for sharing that because we're right at the beginning of the process, or we've been in this process for 5 years. And I feel like I don't have anybody that I can talk to about it. I feel like it's so taboo. I mean, when I had my miscarriage, I was like, how did I not know this was what the experience was going to be like? Like you see it on a movie and it's like somebody has a miscarriage and the next minute they're fine. I was like, it was physically painful, emotionally devastating. I was like, how do I not know this? And so I felt like being open to say that I've had this miscarriage, that I've gone through IVF multiple times, it makes people feel less isolated and less alone. And I think we need more of that.
That's such a perfect segue for you to tell us. You've got a girl and a boy. What are their ages?
Guinevere is 4 and Jonathan is 2. And so you talked earlier about when we're like trying to make decisions, think forward, right? And I always say like, okay, when I turn 75, is this going to be the thing I regret doing or not doing? And so Mark and I, when he passed away, we were about 60 days away from doing another round of IVF to have our third child. I've always wanted 3, like I'm the youngest of 4, all these things. So when he passed away, I felt like this was another dream that was stolen from me. And I didn't think that was fair. I was not okay with it. And so I seriously did go through like the same 4 trip questions, the same 4 damn mindset questions. And I decided to move forward with IVF with the embryos that Mark and I had frozen. And so I am 32 weeks pregnant. To a huge baby. I just found out she's in the 89th percentile for size. But so I'll have another little girl in July. I'm so excited. My daughter is especially over the moon. My son is finally like starting to like understand. But when I did it, I said, if I don't do this, when I turn 75, this will be the thing I regret. Because I know in my heart, that's my yes. My decision was easy. The execution took work. But the decision was really, really easy. But not everybody was super excited about that decision that I made. I definitely have had some people who are not supportive. And that's another part of the decide and declare of the mindset, is the difference between permission and support. We all spend a lot of time unconsciously asking people for permission to follow our dreams. We say, I'm thinking about quitting my job. What do you think? I'm thinking about maybe starting a business. Do you think I should? Or even a simple like, I think I'm going to go out on a date with this guy. What do you think? And the problem with that is that the person you're asking tries it on for size for themselves. And if they're not comfortable, if being an entrepreneur scares the bejesus out of them, they can't give you their permission, because like permission sort of implies their stamp of approval. And if you fail or you get hurt or something is hard, they feel responsible for it. It's like when we sign permission slips for our kids to go to the zoo, we're releasing liability, right? So asking people for permission makes them attached to the outcome. So if instead, like when I announced that I was pregnant, I recorded a video because I realized this was a big bomb to drop on a lot of people. And I sent it out to Mark's family, my family, some close friends and family. And I said, I'm doing this. And if you are supportive, I would love to have that support. Reach out, send me a message. And if you're not supportive, if you're not comfortable with it, that's okay too. And I had some people that just didn't reach out and was like, okay, I told them they could do that. And I had some people who reached out and told me it was a terrible idea. And it hurts. It hurts to hear, but I also have to be really confident in my own yes.
You're nicer than I am. I thought you were going to say this, but then I was like, no, Bevan wouldn't do this, but I would. I would say, if you're supportive, I want to hear from you. If you're not, don't reach out.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I did kind of say, don't reach out. The people who did, I was like, okay, well, you've shared. It's definitely puts a strain on the relationship, but look, I'm the one who has to live with the regret of not following my dreams.
Yeah. I can't imagine anyone having a say in that, because right, there are two people. Well, it's basically your family of four, you, Mark, and then the little two littles, but they obviously are so little, you know, but other than that, it's like, I can't imagine anyone else being able to make a decision or have an opinion about it. I don't know.
Well, but I feel like if we look at situations where people really shouldn't have opinions, but we allow people to do it. Like you said, I remember I was in a really toxic job, or even just when I got laid off and like not finding another job, and people were like, oh, but you should find a job. A job is a sure thing, because they want me to be safe. They want me to be comfortable. They want me to be healthy and taken care of. And I would flip it around to them and say, I would argue that having a job is not the safe thing, since I've now been laid off 3 times. And when I get laid off, I lose all my income in an instant. Whereas if I have my own business and I have clients, if a client cancels their contract, I'm losing a portion of my income.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the biggest time I see that is from parents. You know, when parents have children, I always say this, and I can say this now because I do have two older children that have flown the nest. Before, you know, I couldn't really say this much because my kids weren't grown and out of the house yet. And so I couldn't say, well, I would do this. But I can now say, I think the biggest challenge for a parent is to let your child have their own sovereignty, let them make their own decisions. And I remember thinking, wow, that's going to be really hard. But so many times parents, they think that because they gave birth to that child, they get to decide what their career is going to be, who they love, who they marry, what religion they're going to be, what college they're going to go to, all of these different things. And you don't get to say that. You don't get to make a decision how many kids they have, what their belief system is, all of these different things. You just don't.
Which is hard. It's hard to relinquish that. I mean, I see it. My daughter is 4. She is 1,000% my mini-me. There are things that she says and does where I'm like, I can't even be mad about this because I would say the same thing. And I've taught her to express her emotions. I've taught her that emotions are okay, all of these things. And the other day we were outside at an ice cream store and she wanted her own bottle of water. And I was like, you can just share with your brother. And she was like really upset. And she was so clearly communicating, I just want this bottle of water. And I was like, she's telling me exactly what she wants and needs, like for $1.25. Because there's part of you that always feels like, oh, I shouldn't give into this. And I'm like, but she's clear about it. And so one of the things, like as you guys get more into this take the damn trip world, there's a lot of different damn phrases. Like right now I say, like, I'm having the damn baby and I hope to like create something for women going through fertility treatments about how do we use this damn framework to navigate that. And one of the things I want to do is raise the damn kids. And I've been thinking about it a lot because I love acronyms just because it makes things easier. And so I'm like, okay, so if I was saying, what are the qualities that I want in my kids? And it has to spell the word kids. I'm like, kindness, independence. And then I haven't decided any other. I think it's going to be something about like determination. And I don't know, but like, that's it. I don't need my kids to be nice, but I need them to be kind. And I want them to be independent. I want them to know that they can own their desires and their dreams and they can go after them. That's important to me.
Love it. So let's talk spirituality, honey. I always love to hear what people's spiritual beliefs are. And when you have something with such a deep experience like you've had, you know, I want to know, what is your belief system as far as what happens after we pass? Have you had experiences with Mark in spirit form?
So it's, you know, I'm speaking at a spiritual mom sabbatical retreat in the fall. So I was talking to the woman who is running it and I was thinking, I have a very checkered past with religion and spirituality. I was raised Catholic and my parents got divorced when I was 12. And like going to church really reminded me of when I was at my dad's, like, cause it was required when I was at my dad's. And I remember talking to my dad when I was, I don't even know, in my early 20s and talking about religion. And I said, Dad, I'm very spiritual. I'm just not, I just don't practice religion. I don't go to church every week, but I am incredibly spiritual. Like, I really feel like there's a lot of things I've done in my life I probably shouldn't have survived. Like, I will tell people stories. I'm like, don't worry, this ends well. I'm alive. It's going to look a little dicey in the middle, but like, I'm here telling you the story. And I feel like that is the case because my grandmother in particular, she passed away when I was 16. My dad passed away when I was 24. I really feel like they are looking out for me. I remember when my house burned down, like I got laid off on September 25th. My car got broken into. I got laid off with 5 days notice. So October 1st was my last day. My car got broken into on the 12th and then my house burned down on the 16th. And I remember it like feeling very strongly, like my dad was kind of like up there being like, all right, she's had enough. Like, let's give her a little bit of a break. But just really feeling like there has been situations where if I didn't have something that was concerned for my greater good, I probably wouldn't have made it through. Now, that being said, I do not think everything happens for a reason, or at least not a good one. Nobody's going to be able to tell me that like something has a great plan of why I had to lose my husband. I like, sometimes people are like, oh, you've turned this loss into such a triumph. And I'm like, even when I decided to get pregnant again and one of the friends who was not super supportive, I said, look, it's not like I get a choice of I can either have Mark back or have this baby. I'm like, I don't have a way to bring Mark back. So there's not a choice there. This is something different. I do think that my sister brought me a sign after Mark passed away that was like, said something to the effect of, sometimes I look up and smile and say, I know that was you. There's definitely times where I'm like, yeah, that was like a message coming from Mark, or that was, he had a hand in that.
Yeah. I've done so much research on people's experience. I've read a lot of life after death books. Yeah. And I don't even call it death. I don't, because I don't believe death really even exists. I think it's just a transitioning. But when my mom passed away and when she transitioned in 2018, it was such a profound experience for me. I also felt a lot of pain, but because I could see messages from her. And so to me, you know, it's like we have messages around us all the time. I love how you said, you know, he's in your children and he's in your home and he's all around you. And I truly believe that, you know?
Yeah, you just made me think of something and I totally had forgotten that this had happened. Oh, this is going to probably make me cry. I remember I was putting my kids to bed one night and I was singing them a song and I got really choked up and Guinevere just came over to me and she was like, Daddy loves you so much. Like, don't be sad. Don't cry. And I just felt like, oh my gosh, here he is like telling my 3-year-old to say this to me, right? So I just felt like it just started like pouring down rain. I don't know. Sometimes the weather makes me think like, okay, so a little bit of an acknowledgement of what I'm saying, but I think there are messages everywhere, 100%. And I think sometimes we are trying to turn things into messages, which I think really is us trying to kind of validate our own desires, if that makes sense. Like I had a friend who was trying to start a business and she's like, do you think this is a sign I should do it? Do you think this is a sign? Do you think this is a sign? I said, I think this is a sign that you're looking for a sign. And I think that when we know in our heart what we really want, and I think we just get out of touch with that, we get out of practice of declaring it. But when we know in our heart, this is the thing, then we can see the signs that are like, yes, I do know. Like I do personally know that Mark is supportive of me having this baby. I just know it. And if other people want to find signs that that's not the case, it's not going to convince me.
It's not your damn life.
That's right.
Oh, I love it. Wow. So, my dear, what is your message to the world?
Well, I think it really does come down to, like I said, we need to connect with the people that we love. So we need to choose moments over minutes. And we need to do the crazy thing that's in our heart. We know what's in our heart. And we don't need anybody's permission to follow those dreams. Like we only have this one. I mean, however people want to believe it, like right now you have this one beautiful, wild, crazy life. Like, what do you want to do with it? You are the only person that can bring that to life. And then yes, just take the damn trip, do the damn thing, because we're not promised tomorrow. Good or bad could happen tomorrow. And so the only time to get into action is right now, even if it's micro actions, tiniest little things to go forward, but you've got to get into action.
Beautiful. Love it so much. So my hubby and I, we've been talking lately. We've got some little trips planned for this summer. We're going to go to Coos Bay and see our daughter out there and do some little things. But just recently we were like, oh, should we get our trip to Tahoe in? Because we go every year. But it's definitely going to be a pain, and maybe not a pain, but we're going to have to get creative to figure out the timing and all of that with us. But, and it's, I know Tahoe is not a trip to France, but I guess we should just take the damn trip. Are you giving me permission, Batman?
Well, you don't need my permission. But so the thing is, it's so funny that we talk about this. Like Mark picked Bordeaux because neither of us had ever been there. So I've traveled pretty extensively. He was like, I want to go to a city where neither of us have been, where we can explore it together. He said this, and I swear it has never been uttered before in the history of the planet and never will be again. He was like, Paris is a cop-out. Because I was like, we could just go to Paris and we wouldn't have to change planes. He's like, Paris is a cop-out. I was like, no one has ever said that before. But it wasn't, yes, it was about the fact that we were exploring the city together. But I'll tell you, it rained the whole time we were there, which is why I think it's funny that it's raining now. Like we had umbrellas, like the places that we were, like we wanted to see this water feature. It was not turned on. Like there were a lot of things that could have just made us really cranky about the trip. We got stuck on a plane for 3 hours. Like it was a 3-hour delay, all this stuff, but it wasn't about Bordeaux. It was about us taking a step out of our regular life, being together. And really he looked at me at one point and he's like, I feel like I'm reconnecting with who you really are, with who you are that I fell in love with. And that was the trip, right? So you go to Tahoe, sure. Like,
yeah, but
I personally love Tahoe. It's one of my favorite places. But the why, right? The yes and the why is for you guys to be together. And the why is because you love each other. So then the what and the how is it's kind of inconsequential.
Yes. So beautiful. Well, you are definitely honoring Mark, honey, and the world. So I appreciate you so much for showing up today, for sharing your powerful message with the world. We'll definitely put your contact information, your website in the show notes. So thank you. Thank you for being here and shining your light with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I love it. I love that I got to answer some questions that I don't normally get to answer, but I'm really honored to be on your show, honored to get to share the story of Mark and my kids and my soon to be third kid. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Can't wait to see that new baby. So cute. Love it. Okay. Thank you, honey. Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.